of this message. But also I want to say to you, because I don't know, if you feel like you need to leave because we've gone way over, then I'm okay with that as well. That's up to you. I trust you, because again, I want to honor the time that I've asked you to give us in the morning. And I understand that our services typically go longer than a lot of other churches do, because we ask an hour and a half from you. But it seems to you, seems to me that you want me to bring the message that I have, and so I'm going to bring that before you. And if you get up and leave, then I understand that, and I think nothing less of you this morning. And so we're going to continue on with the Church Alive series, because again, I really believe that God wants us. God needs us. Let me just put it that way. God needs us to be His body, to be His people in our world today. All we have to do is listen to the news and realize that the world is crying out for Jesus, even though they don't know that they're crying out for Him. The world is crying out, and it's hurting, and it needs a group of people who are passionately in love with Jesus. And so this morning, as the Church of Alive, what's God calling us to do? Now, let's admit, there are lots of things that He's calling us to do, but I believe that He's calling us to be a people of praise, that we're called to be a people who praise God. And so I ask the question, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to praise God? Is praising God just about music? Is that what praising God is about? Is praising God about raising our hands? And I don't see if you do it or not in church, but raising our hands to Him when we sing. Is that what praising God is about? No, not at all. Good. No, it is about so much more. And so I ask you the question, it may sound like a strange question, but where does praise come from? Where does praise come from? Or what should our focus be? What should our focus in our lives be? It really does answer the question about praise. And so this morning, would you stand for the reading of our verse today? Let's pray. Father, again, we come. And Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Father. And so I'm asking that You would illumine Your word to our hearts and minds today. I'm asking You to guide us into Your truth, because Your truth makes us free. And Lord God, we want to be free. And You tell us in Your word that if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And so we come. We're seeking with our whole hearts to listen to You this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 11.
I saw Nick and he threw me off.
Both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring, here's the important part, the wonders of God in our own tongue. May God bless the reading of His word. You may be seated. And so today, if you're taking notes, and if I go too fast out of trying to honor you when I'm preaching, please let me know. But today, we're going to look at exaltation, evangelism, and expression. The book of Acts gives us a new view on exaltation, or I'll substitute the word praise. The focus is on the person of Christ, who gives us His nature and spirit. So hear that. The focus is on the person of Christ, who gives us His nature and spirit. And so how does this relate to praise? Let me tell you today that praise is a feeling. Understand that. Praise is a feeling. The dictionary defines praise as a moving state of consciousness that comes from emotions, sentiments, or desires. Praise is always a response to the sourcing of the Spirit of Jesus within the believer, which affects his emotion. You see, with this, we understand that praise is not an activity I do regardless of how I feel. It is a feeling which is in response to Christ within me. Praise is a state of awe and wonder. This is not an activity we do, but hear this, a state in which we live. Praise is a state in which we live. And so it's saying to us, it's not something that we can conjure up. It's not something that we do when we come to church. Praise is a state in which we live. My friends, if you will follow the trail of your time, your energy, your money, your affections, and your allegiances, you will find a throne. Whatever is on that throne is what you value the most. This is the thing that brings the greatest joy to your life. And so I ask you today, is Jesus on the throne of your life? Is Jesus on the throne? What do you think most about? What captures your time? What captures your energy? What motivates you? Whatever it is, that is the thing that is on the throne of your life. And we know that the Scripture says that you shall have no other gods before me. I think that's written somewhere in something they call the Ten Commandments. Is that right? Yep. So this is the issue in the book of Acts. It is impossible to praise without the Spirit of Christ. You and I must be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, or we find it impossible to live in a constant state of praise. Why is that the case? Because if we are not filled with the Spirit of Christ, then who else is filling that spot? We are. That's right. We are. And so that's why we play a game with Jesus. Jesus, sometimes you're on the throne, sometimes you're not. Sometimes I let you there, sometimes I don't. And in this situation, you can sit on the throne, especially when I need you. But on the times that I don't need you, you're not on the throne. This means that the Holy Spirit is the source of all praise. It is the Spirit of Jesus, which is, hear this, because it's a shift for us. It is the Spirit of Jesus who is the source of all revelation, okay? Our response to revelation is an emotion. That emotion is praise. The revelation which comes is truth. And what did Jesus say about the truth? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. You see, it is the way that things really are in Him. The emotional feeling is called praise. Because one knows what he cannot know and sees what he cannot see, he lives in a state of awe and wonder. You see, my friends, if you could figure God out, He really wouldn't be God, would He? And so let me ask you, do you live in a state of awe and wonder of who God is? Do you live in a state of awe and wonder as you read the Scriptures and you discover something new about God, or God takes the blinders from your eyes so that you can see? That's really where God's calling us to live in a constant state of awe of Him. Because let's be honest, it shouldn't be all that difficult, because you and I both live with finite minds, and we get to see through His Word and through the way that He interacts in our lives, the way that He is an infinite God. And so God is always revealing the infinite to our lives. You see, praise is not what man does and God's response. Rather, God moves in man's response. God moves on the inward being of man by bringing the revelation of truth. Upon seeing this truth of who He is, man feels and expresses this great emotion of awe, wonder, and praise. Praise is a response to Jesus in your life. So how do you respond to Jesus? Let me ask you, has Jesus become stale? Has Jesus become normal? Has Jesus become everyday? Have you been following Jesus for so long that there's really no more excitement about Him? Don't you love to be around brand new Christians? Don't you love to be around the excitement? God has come. God has set them free. They're experiencing a freedom like they've never experienced before. But how can we grow stale? How can we become complacent? Can it be that we've missed the awe and wonder of God? It's interesting that this phrase, this awe and wonder, is only used two times in the New Testament. Both times it is used by Luke. He uses it only when God is bringing His people to a new level of revelation. Luke, in the book of Luke, tells the details of the birth of Christ. And he is drawn to this Greek word. The angel speaks to both Mary and Elizabeth about their miraculous birth. As Mary runs to Elizabeth's house, they greet each other. And what do? They break forth in praise. Mary says, "For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name." This phrase that we see here in this verse, "great things," is the same phrase that Luke uses in our verse. You see, there are some significant parallels in these two events. In both cases, God is bringing a new revelation of Himself to this world. In Luke, we see that there is the birth of Christ. In the book of Acts, we see the birth of the church. In Luke, we see the second member of the Trinity descend. In Acts, we see the third member of the Trinity descend. In Luke, Mary is indwelt by Christ. In Acts, 112 disciples are indwelt by the Spirit of Christ. Now, there are a couple more things that we need to discover here, but do you see that? When God brings a new revelation of Himself, when He speaks to us. Let's go on. God moved on the believers with the sound of heaven. And this event does what? It brings the Jews of the dispersion together. And they break forth in great praise. Praise is communicated to every nation. We saw that in the book of Acts. 3,000 were added to their numbers that day. They spoke in other language. You see, praise has natural qualities which create evangelism. Praise is positive and it draws people into focus. Praise does not highlight techniques or methods, but hides itself in His presence, allowing only Jesus to be seen. Praise is a common language to all people. Think about this for a second. There are very few words that are common to every language of people. One of those words that I think of that everybody knows is Coca-Cola. Right? You cannot go anywhere and mention the word Coca-Cola that people don't know what it is. Right? Any place in the world. There is also a universal word for praise that everybody knows in every language. Can you guess the word? Hallelujah. Very good, Wanda. That's right. You see, praise breaks all barriers. It crosses all cultural lines, and it communicates to every heart. Isn't that what evangelism is? The problem is when we stifle praise in our lives. Praise is a byproduct of the continual growing revelation of Jesus through the indwelt Holy Spirit. My friends, Jesus must be your focus. As He reveals Himself in you, the awesomeness of who He is will grip your life. The growth of His person in your life will initiate praise. Think of Mary being visited by the angel of God. What did she do? She broke out in praise. She understands a new revelation of who Jesus is. And did you see that Mary could not contain it? See, but the focus is not on praise or the expression of it. Don't concern yourself with praise. Seek the revelation of Jesus in you. Let Him be your passion and your drive. Let Jesus consume your entire being until He establishes a hunger within you. All other things are a byproduct of His revealed heart. And so as we conclude, as the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus in your life, praise will be a natural result. It should be so noticeable in your life that others will ask. Everyone will want to know. When there's a fire going on, people flock to it. Is there a fire going on in your heart and life? Can you or do you contain the praise of God? Or is it just a natural part of your being because you can't really contain it? Because you see, my friends, the opposite is true as well. When we don't praise God, people know about it. And people will ask you, why? Why are you not? As a Christian, they'll wonder why you're not praising God. And could it be that the reason we don't praise God is because really the Holy Spirit is not living within us? Because again, the Holy Spirit is the initiator of praise. And so let me just close, and I've cut this message short a little bit. Is it time for you to ask yourself, what are people seeing in me? Because if Jesus is inside, He has to come out. Praise is the expression of that. Praise is the emotional response to Jesus in our lives. Praise is an emotional response to what Jesus is doing in our lives, in the way that He's working in our lives, in the way that He is revealing Himself to us. Let me just say this to you. Can it be that the reason why there is not praise exuding from your lips is because the only thing you get in your lives is what you receive in church on Sunday morning? Can that be the reason? because my Bible tells me that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, that it penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. My friends, what the world needs to hear is Jesus in you. What the world needs is you to live a life of praise. What the world needs is Jesus just to ooze out all over the people that you come into contact with. What are people seeing in us? Is your life a praise to Jesus? Would you stand, please? Father, thank you for my dear brothers and sisters. And Jesus, I pray that the prayer of each one of our hearts is that you would be seen, that you would be exalted, that you would be lived out, and that we would stop pushing you down inside and not be afraid of expressing praise to you. Father, I believe and know, as on the day of Pentecost, because praise broke out, lives were touched and changed. A difference was made. I pray that my friends would be difference makers this week. Thank you again for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you.